Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are everybody doing? We blessed. And amen. Amen. It's been so much going on. So my message is kind of all over the place because I kind of had like 8-10 different thoughts in my head. So just bear with me a little bit. But the title of my message is He Nailed It.
Amen.
Anybody understand what that means? He nailed it.
Yes.
He nailed it. But I'm going to start off with a question. And my question is, how many of us know that unforgiveness is a sin?
Amen.
Yes. Unforgiveness is a sin. I can't hear myself. I'm sorry. I can't hear myself. Nobody's there. A little bit. Yes. Just a little bit. Unforgiveness is a sin, but what about if the person you can't forgive is yourself?
Still a sin.
Still a sin. If your parents were abusive, you were raped. I mean, everything was taken away from you. It's still a sin. So, How do you forgive in a situation like that when you know you've done so much? So much has happened to you. I'm sorry. I forgive you. That's hard. I mean, it sounds easy, and it sounds really easy when I say you need to forgive. That sounds easy to me. But I know that it's not easy. I know that it's not easy. So I'm going to start with 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and impurities and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I chose that one because we confess our sins to him and then he forgives us. But what if they don't confess their sins? What happens at that point? What if they just don't, you know? They don't come and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, or I know I did that, and I'm so sorry today. How do you let that go? Because God forgives regardless. Whether you confess it or not, it sounds nice if we confess, but whether you confess or not, he is able to forgive us and let us move on. But we have to learn how to let ourselves move on. And we have to learn how to let other folks move on. Because maybe they didn't even know that they did the wrong that you feel that they did to you. Maybe they know exactly what they did to you and they don't care that they did it. I mean, it's a lot of them, you know. So my confession today is that I'm not perfect. And I've done a lot. And sometimes I wonder why he chose to forgive me. But I've learned how to forgive myself. I had my son when I was 22 years old. I did not have a husband. And the guy that my son was conceived by, I didn't know him very well. And he chose not to be around. And I had to choose to raise my son on my own because I knew that his father was not going to be there. So what do? You get a job. You put all your everything into making sure. This is cold. I'm freezing. You put all your everything into raising a boy and not having a father of my own. I didn't really know what it was gonna take, but I jumped in with both feet and both hands.
Yes.
And I gotta say, you know, today it doesn't look like it, but I gotta say, I think I did a pretty good job.
Yes.
I gotta say, I really believe in my heart that I poured a lot into my son. And they tend to roam away. and do their own thing once they get grown. But it took them to get grown.
Yeah.
Right? Never been in jail.
Amen.
Never been on drugs.
Amen.
You know, he's never even really had a real encounter with the police.
Amen.
Amen. And graduated high school.
Amen.
Did some college. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just giving God some praise right now. But I gotta say, he really helped me through it with the help of, you know, my mom, you know, other members of the family. I gotta say, I was mama and I was daddy.
Yes.
For 17 years. And I had to learn how to forgive myself for choosing who his father was instead of allowing God to choose him for me. And a lot of things going as he was growing up, a lot of things I felt like I spent too much time at work and not enough time with him. And so for a little while, I felt like I failed him. And I had to look at that. I had to really, and I even talked to him about it, and he was like, Mom, no. He was like, who I am today is because of you, but not because of something you did wrong, you know? But it still was hard because I know there were things that I'm, of course, we could always do better. And so now I can start again, right?
Amen.
I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Son, forgive me. Family, forgive me, but I can start again.
Yeah.
And he gave me an opportunity of 20 whole years later. 20 whole years later with this young one. And doctors told me that she was going to be, because of my age, Down syndrome. She was going to have complications. And she was going to, but at this point, I'm like, no, he's forgiven me. I won't be punished for this one. And I kept asking, did Jesus tell you this one? Because I haven't heard that one. Right? Down syndrome, I don't think so. Complications, not. And she's a walking witness that everything is, her name is who she is.
Yeah.
Her name is who she is. She's a miracle. So he gave me a do-over. And he can give you a do-over.
Yeah.
Right? So, because you don't want to have nothing on your back when he comes.
That's right.
You don't want to have a spot, a wrinkle, a blemish, a stain, a thought, an impure thought. Let me just clarify that. You don't want to have that on your back when he comes, because he's coming for a pure church.
Yeah.
And so I think about a lot of times when I'm at work, I get a lot of phone calls from different people. You know, not calling about work stuff. They call my cell phone. They interrupt my work. I don't mind. I'm okay. My boss won't bother me. But I get a lot of calls, and I need to talk to you, and I get the cries, and I get the tears, and it's an opportunity for me to share some of the things that I learned over the years, some the word that has been imparted into me. And I call that giving me a do-over, right? Because I felt like I didn't give it all to my son, so I got to give it to somebody. It's up in here. So somebody got to receive what I'm holding on to. So I don't want to go down saying I held on to anything. I want to lay it all out on the table. So I want to be that vessel that is emptied out completely so that I can be filled back up.
Amen.
And so a lot of people think that, you know, sin is only for sinners. It just happens. Sinners are the only ones that sin, and that's so not true, right? I was the leader of the choir and the praise and worship team and everything when I got pregnant with my son. I'm just saying, that was me. I was over the praise and worship, and I was the choir director. So sin don't just happen to sinners.
Amen.
I mean, sin even happens to those who have given their life over to Christ.
Yes.
And
that was good.
Amen.
So we got to recognize, right?
Right.
You can't walk with your head all up in the clouds like, I ain't never sinned, because at that point you just sinned. You lied. That's not true. ain't never done nothing wrong. You know, somebody told me saved all day. No evil have I done. Is that what they used to tell us? Saved all day and no evil have I done. Uh-huh. I don't have nothing to to repent for.
Saved all
day? I mean, it's stuck right here in my throat. How could you say that? You know, when you wake up in the morning, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You haven't done anything but got out of the bed, but forgive me for what I dreamt last night. You know, all of even the thoughts could be a sin. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you dreamed about, whatever's on TV when you went to bed, I'm telling you, it could become something.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But he is faithful and just, he will forgive us of our sins.
Yes.
And so we should do the same for ourselves.
That's right. Yes.
And we should do the same for others.
Amen.
And so I had a person or a few people who would always recall all the evils that I've done.
Ooh. Probably church people.
Definitely. Them the ones. Definitely. They would come. I remember you, and I saw you win, and even my so-and-so saw you here, and they saw you there. They would recall, and that is nothing but Satan, who is he, the accuser of the saints, who come and remind you of all of the dumb, hateful things that you did in your life just so that you could be sad and depressed. And Lord, I don't know how you're going to forgive me for that one, even though he already forgave you, right? Because you've already repented, right? You've already given it over to him, so you have nothing right now.
Amen.
And even though they're throwing it at you, if you haven't forgiven yourself, it sticks.
Amen.
If you haven't let it go, it sticks. Even if you gave it to him, you took a little piece of it back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got it pinned on your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pinned. No, it's pinned. It's got a safety pin in it. Why? Because that's what you did. You took it. And,
wow.
I'm a sinner. And you walking around with this sign.
Wow.
I'm a sinner. You walking around on your head. It's on your back. And now you're a target. Because you carry your Bible.
Yeah.
But you still confessing.
Mm-hmm.
This thing that you did 27 years ago.
Amen.
27 years ago.
Wow.
Right? So.
Amen. Unforgiveness.
Amen. A total unforgiveness, right? And he's telling you, you know, we took him and one hand went there, right? One went there. You got one in his feet. You got thorns on his head. And he still forgave us.
Yeah.
Right? We did that to him.
Yeah.
And every time we commit a sin, it's another nail thrown in his hands. But he still forgave us.
Yeah.
And he was like praying for us and interceding even at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
They don't know. They're not knowing what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
But forgive them anyway. Right? So even if they didn't know, you owe it to yourself to forgive.
Amen.
You owe it to yourself to forgive. Colossians says, when we are dead, when you were dead in your sin and in uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ, and he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away and nailed it to the cross.
Yeah.
So I want you to get a piece of paper.
Yes.
Take a piece of paper. You do not have to write your sins on the piece of paper.
Amen. We have enough paper.
You do not have to, not even one, not 11, not, you don't have to write it. I just want you to get a mental note in your hand. Just hold it for me. You know, get a piece of paper and hold it. That's what I'm going to use you later, but, right? So, when he forgave us of our sins, that made us justified.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I was listening to another message and he broke that justified down to me. It was like, just if I'd never sinned.
Ooh.
Wow. That hit me. I'm like, whoa, okay. Just if I'd never sinned. So he forgave me, cleansed me, washed me, just as if I had never sinned. That was something. That did something to me.
Wow.
Even though I've forgiven myself, I've learned how to do that. I walk in peace. Amen. With my life, right? And I know how to say, okay, I know I did that one wrong, but I'm, you know, forgive me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? So I can continue to walk in peace. That's how David got it.
Yeah.
He figured it out.
Amen.
He did all the dirt he could do. But at the end of the night, I have sinned against you. And now, please forgive me.
Amen.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You cleanse it. You get yourself clean, right?
Yeah.
So when the minister was sharing that with me, I'm just saying, okay, just if I'd never sinned. Now, he didn't change the letter in or nothing like that. All he did was took the E out of there. Just if I had never sinned. And I'm like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
So you pray. You ask the Lord to forgive you. You learn how to forgive everybody else.
That's right.
And it's just if you never sinned before. And now you're clean. And you can walk in holiness. You can walk in peace.
Yeah.
And you can be humble.
Yeah.
About life. Because somebody had already been where you going.
Mm-hmm.
And you already been where a whole lot of people going to. Right? Isaiah 44 and 22 says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, and your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you.
Yes.
I could drop the mic.
Amen.
I've been redeemed.
Yes.
Right? I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And I've been redeemed because he's forgiven me.
Yes.
And forgiveness means everything.
Yes.
It means everything.
Yes.
So I tried... when we kind of get in, he had conversations and whatever. He can't see me, but I know he see me. Heated conversations, and sometimes things get recalled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait, that was yesterday. Yeah. I'm born again today. That was yesterday, so I try my best not to throw stuff, you know, not to throw kitchen sinks and bathroom toilets and things like that, you know, because dirt hurts.
Yeah,
dirt hurts. Dirt hurts, and you pile it on, and you suffocate, right? It's heavy, you can't carry, you can't walk around, you already talking about your back and your neck.
Right, yes.
Yet you got this load, and that's somebody done dumped on you.
Yeah.
Let's get it together. We have to learn how to forgive. You may never forget. And I don't know that the Lord wants you to forget.
Right.
Because lest you walk into that same situation again, you know, you got to learn how to forgive and move on. How about that?
There you go. Amen.
Forgive and move on. Forgive and let life flow.
Right.
Let it go. And then let it flow, right? Just let the Lord move the way he moves. Because he is saying, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And so why can't we say, forgive them? We killed them.
Right.
We nailed them to the cross. We put thorns. We pierced them in the side. We did some stuff. Some unforgivable stuff to this man who had never done anything to anyone. So, if he could forgive us and he never did anything wrong, we should be able to forgive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because we're human, but we should be able to still forgive, let it go, walk forward in peace,
yeah.
And, you know, let the Lord heal him. And so you pray for him. I read something in the Bible where it said when you pray on people who hurt you, it heaps coals over their head, right? Coals. I don't want that. Coals on people. Coals of fire. That sounds brutal. That's painful. That sounds brutal. But it heaps coals of fire over their head. At some point, they're going to realize they're burning and, you know, I done something because this This is hurting. So I got to do, I got to say, and they may never come to you directly and say, I am so sorry that I did that to you.
Right.
But they may go right to the Father.
Yeah.
Which is the most important, right?
That's yes. Right.
That's the most important. They may go straight to him and say, please forgive me.
Yes.
And so then the ball is in your court. Can you forgive him?
Yeah.
Maybe. That man that treated you like, because your skin color, he treated you like you were yesterday's garbage. Can you forgive him? You know? I was reading some, I watched the movie, and I don't know if you guys have watched it. If you have young boys, I suggest you watch it, but you're going to cry, and you're going to be mad and everything. The movie is called When They See Us. This is about the five black boys that were incarcerated for raping a woman they never seen before in their lives. And they were 16, 15, and 14. And they spent the better part of 7-8 years in prison because some woman who decided that all black kids were thugs had them locked up. I cried. And I praised God that my son never went through nothing like that. But he's still black.
Yeah.
And he's still a man. And Lord haven't came and got us yet.
Amen.
So you got to learn how to forgive them before they do it. Before they do it. I mean, come on now. We got young men that are getting, it was unspeakable. Unspeakable, the things that happened to these young men in the prisons and things. Few of them were in juvenile detention, and then the one ended up in, you know, adult prison for a long time. And this is based on a true story. Adult prison where they did unspeakable things to him, and he still was able to walk away after they found out that it wasn't him. It wasn't him. He was actually incarcerated with the actual person who did it. And that person finally was like, okay, enough is enough. I need to confess. They let him go. And they didn't go out, you know, I'm going to sue and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They was just glad to be free. They haven't done anything wrong. They was glad to be free. And that's what we need to be free.
Glad to be free.
Right? Unforgiveness is incarcerating, right? You could be locked up in your own head. Mm. You locked up. You can't get away from your own thoughts because they run around with you all day long, right? So you learn how to forgive. Now you can walk in freeness, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have that freedom to love and freedom to say hello and all of those things, right?
Yeah.
So the reason why I asked you to get a piece of paper in here, first let me read this. Psalms chapter 103 verses 10 and 11 says he does not treat us as our sins deserve.
Amen.
Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
Yeah.
As the far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's freedom.
Yes.
He just took it away and threw it so far from you. And you have nothing.
Amen.
Nothing riding on your back. You're free.
Amen.
Right? Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. I mean, he loved us so much before we even got here that he forgave us before we committed our, me, Jacqueline, 47, 48, first sin. He forgave me already a long time ago. So everything that I've done was expected, right? And he forgave it already.
Amen.
He nailed it to the cross.
Yes.
So, can I borrow you for a second?
Yes.
You want me to stand there?
Yes, please.
Behind you?
No, not behind me.
She want me to hold my hands out like that?
Oh, there you go. He nailed it to the cross. That's what I'm telling you. He nailed that, whatever that was, whatever that is, he put it right there. So if you have something that you know, and that's why I asked you to get a piece of paper, you can nail it to the cross right there, right?
Yeah.
It came off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There it goes. Good?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen.
Amen.
So when Christ was nailed to the cross, he took every one of your sins and nailed it to the cross. So I'm going to ask you to take whatever your thought process was for your piece of paper and nail it to the cross. Over here. I need an actual movement. I need you to come to me. And nail it. You can put it in. You don't have to write nothing. Just give it to him.
I get all of them?
Amen. You are Jesus.
Yeah. I get everybody's sin?
You get everybody's sin. Stop and come closer to me. There you go. You get everybody's sin.
Everybody's sin that has been nailed to the cross. And while you're doing that, she said, I've got 2. I got 7. I got 12. Whatever they are, go ahead and nail it to the cross. And I'm going to say, you know, Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you for each and every one of your children who are offering up their sins to be nailed to the cross and given over to grace and love. And kindness, and I think you can lift your hands. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Put it on the altar. Don't take
right
it
there.
With you.
Yes, we can have it here.
I said, put it on the altar. Don't take it with you.
Put it all on.
And I praise you, Lord God, for each and every one of our members who have voluntarily or been forced to nail their sins to the cross.
Yeah.
Amen. We ask you for the forgiveness, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love and your kindness. And we just praise you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's it?
That is it. Oh.